Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Let's begin with some of today's headlines. The first headline reads, Momentum Shift. Better Behavior Has Campus Officials Plotting Next Move. This article is written by Ben Zigderman and is based out of Urbana. There were fewer reports of non-compliant parties and isolation violations last weekend, as University of Illinois officials expressed hope that enhanced COVID-19 enforcement is working. The 2 weeks of limited activity is scheduled to end Wednesday. Chancellor Robert Jones said at Monday's Academic Senate Executive Committee meeting that he's working on what the next steps will be. We have every indication that we're getting this under control, but we can't ease up at this juncture, he said. We had a meeting this morning where we're starting to discuss what are the next steps and making sure that we can continue to drive the number of new positive cases down and keep it there for the rest of the semester and the rest of the academic year. After cases exceeded expectations a week into the semester, Jones sent a mass email September 2nd requesting students limit going out for only essential activities, and announced a new initiative to contact students within 30 minutes of testing positive. He also said the Urbana campus would step up enforcement of COVID-19 policies, threatening immediate suspension, for violators. So far, 8 students and 1 fraternity have received interim suspensions, Dean of Student Support and Advocacy Stephen Bryan said. Another 273 students are under investigation, but Brian said the trends in the number of reported incidents is encouraging. There were 20 reports of gatherings from Labor Day weekend, which Brian said dropped to 5 this past weekend. I think we're seeing the visible effects of the chancellor's email, Brian said. He said students are responding to the effort to contact them quickly after testing positive, with 99% responding within a minute after receiving a text from what is called Shield Team 30. 2 weeks ago, there were 43 students not complying with their isolation or quarantine directives, Brian said, and that has dropped to 24, so 43 to 24. He said the noncompliance doesn't appear to be driven by politics. As I've been out on the party scene riding around, I haven't encountered that notion at all, that it's resistance to wearing the mask because of the political environment, Brian said. Instead, I've encountered more of a notion of, I'm invincible. It's not going to happen to me. Or if it does, it's not that big of a deal. Since students began moving in on August 16th, there have been 1,891 cases detected among the campus community, including 59 faculty and staff members, epidemiologist Rebecca Smith said. The number of new cases has dropped off sharply in the dorms and Greek houses, but less sharply in off-campus housing, she said. Off-campus housing has not come down as much as we would like, Smith said. Physicist and COVID-19 modeler Nigel Goldenfield said it's too early to say what will happen if and when the measures are lifted. It depends on how we relax the measures that we're currently taking, Goldenfield said. And so we will obviously be analyzing these data in the next day or so and coming to some conclusions as a team about what is the right way to do this. He said expanding testing to the Champaign-Urbana community is a priority, particularly to local school districts and the family members of faculty. The U of I has developed mobile testing units, of which Jones said the first major deployment should be to serve the community, K-12 education. We've had 2 meetings with the superintendents of the school districts, and we will be looking at a way to make it available to the general public. And there are also 2 photos that appear with this article. The first is kind of the larger one and in the center of the front page of the newspaper. And it's of 2 college students sitting at a table outside of, it looks like, a restaurant or a grocery store. U of I students Claire Carson, left, and Matt Shaladi relax at a table outside of Cracked and Timoji on Green Street in Champaign on Monday. And that picture is provided by Robin Schultz of the News Gazette. And there's also another photo that's provided by Robin Schultz of the News Gazette. And it's a bunch of college students with masks walking down the street. Masked people wait to cross the street at 6th and Green Streets in Champaign on Monday. The next headline reads, Unit 4, Board Unanimously Okays Black Lives Matter Sign. This article is written by Ben Sigderman and is based out of Champaign. A few weeks after the Champaign School District directed a Westview Elementary teacher to take down a Black Lives Matter sign from a classroom window, Unit 4 board members unanimously approved a statement authorizing the signs to be used by the district. The statement of affirmation ties a specific sign that reads, Resolution 2020, Black Lives Matter in CUSD No. 4, to the board's unanimous vote in June to declare racism a public health crisis, President Amy Armstrong said Monday night. This truly had to be board work for us to send the message out, she said. We dotted our I's and crossed our T's. We made sure that we have the legs to stand on if someone challenges this. The vote was preceded by a march Monday afternoon from Westview to the Mellon Administration Center, organized by the Black Teachers Alliance, CU, in support of Black Lives Matter. The district ordered the public-facing sign to be taken down after its lawyers said keeping it up could open the door to speech the district doesn't agree with. The teacher who put it up, alongside a much larger We Got This sign, Abby Krull, C-R-U-L-L, decried the whitewashed legal system that deemed the Black Lives Matter sign political. The sign was intended to affirm black and brown children and their families as they pass by our classroom, she said at Monday's meeting. The insinuation that this sign is a political statement, coupled with public pressure to be politically neutral, is dangerous. Neutrality only serves the oppressors. Armstrong said no one was punished for the Black Lives Matter sign and that similar signs were already in classrooms. There's allyship signals all over our schools within there, and a lot of those were student initiatives, she said, and no one was disciplined for the sign that was facing outward. It was just that it took time to get through the process. Board member Bruce Brown said that the sign needs to be followed by results. This feels like a victory, definitely, and I'm not going to diminish that at all, he said, but the proof is in the pudding, and it's going to be how our schools and how our vision transforms to make sure that achievement becomes a priority. The achievement gap between black and white students in Unit 4 was highlighted Monday as the district's new strategic plan was presented. It showed that in English language arts, 9% of black students are proficient compared to 50% of white students. And in math, 6% of black students are proficient compared to 48% of white students. When people ask why we want this sign and why we wanted the resolution, this is why, Armstrong said. The next headline reads, Champaign County Treasurer's Office, some taxing districts waiting longer for money. Distributions running behind. This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of Urbana. Issues with the Champaign County Treasurer's Office have continued to pile up. A few months after taxpayers began complaining about the late payment penalties they were seeing after paying their property taxes early or on time, some taxing districts have said the treasurer is running behind on distributing the property tax money they're owed and is also withholding a larger amount of their money than usual. Champaign Public Library Director Donna Pittman said the library still hasn't received $700,000 from the first installment on 2019 property taxes payable this year. That first installment came due for taxpayers on June 1st. When the library will begin seeing any distributions from the treasurer from the second installment, which came due for taxpayers September 1st, is unknown, she said. Since the library is dependent on property taxes for 95% of its operation, delays are a problem, Pittman said. Last year it was late, and this year it is very late, she said. Pittman said the library was told by County Treasurer Marisol Hughes's office that 10% of the library's tax distributions would be held back to cover contested taxes, but in fact, they're actually holding on to 17.5%. Kay Neese, that's Kay, K-A-Y, last name Neese, N-E-E-S, finance director for the city of Champaign, said the city's main property tax issue is that distributors from the second installment of property taxes are running later than usual, and a larger amount than usual is being held back. The city has received $12.4 million of the $24.7 million in property taxes it expected from the 2019 tax year, Neese said, so we're not too far off. But typically, the treasurer's office would be making distributions to the city on taxpayers' second installment payments in late July or early August, and those distributions would continue through the end of September, she said. The city is managing the issue, Neese said, but it's also not as heavily reliant on property taxes as some other taxing districts are. As of September 10th, Hughes has closed the treasurer's office to walk-in traffic until further notice, she said. Taxpayers can make appointments to come into the office by emailing or calling the treasurer's office, but all phone options for that office lead to recorded messages only. Hughes said her office is processing the second installment of property taxes. Her office also has made the first three distributions to taxing districts and hopes to have a fourth distribution to taxing districts at the end of this month or early next month, she said. Taxing districts haven't received all the money from the first installment yet because the amounts are overstated, Hughes said. We were planning to process the fourth distribution for all taxing districts this week, but we decided not to do that since it will be better for the districts to receive the 100% of the distribution after we make the adjustments and process all payments from the second installment, she said. Hughes also said her office is crediting property tax payments on the day they are received, which avoids any late fees for taxpayers. She also said her office was preparing to start processing refunds for duplicate payments that were made on property taxes in about 3 weeks. The current goal is to finish processing the second installment payments and fix errors to be ready for the annual tax sale, Hughes said. We don't know the exact date when we will open the office again, she said. John Baker, finance director for the Champaign County Forest Preserve District, said the district would normally have its fourth distribution of taxes by now. By July, we would have received about 55% of our distributions for the year, and this year it looks like we have received 43%, he said. It's not horrible, but it's a concern, Baker said. That's because the district board wants to maintain a 3% operating reserve, and the district is likely going to need to dip into its reserves probably next month if it doesn't receive a fourth installment on its tax money this month, Baker said. The district has been in regular contact with the treasurer's office, he said, but we're getting to a point where we have to ask some strong questions of the treasurer. Robert Kozmanoff, Mahomet's village treasurer, said a larger-than-usual percentage of first-installment distributions has also been withheld for the village. We're about 17% less than what we would have expected at this point, he said. Mahomet has cash reserves to cover its operations, Kozmanoff said, but is holding back on capital purchases and improvements. Kozmanoff said he also had to file Freedom of Information Act requests with the treasurer's office to get breakdowns on the amount of pass-through payments the village owes taxing districts overlapping a Mahomet tax increment financing district. Meanwhile, Hughes recently replaced her chief deputy. A letter she sent to former Chief Deputy Treasurer Alejandra Aguero states Aguero's employment was terminated as of the end of the day, August 28th. My decision is final, Hughes said in her letter. Champaign County Executive Darlene Clapel said the new Chief Deputy Treasurer, Dan Stitch, was hired a week ago. Clapel also said There has been some discussion about removing Hughes from office because different people have been unhappy with things she did. But there are no actions related to that coming up before the county board, Kaplow said. I don't think there's enough support for it because there's 2 months left, she said. Hughes was appointed treasurer in March to fill the rest of the term left vacant by former county treasurer Laurel Prussing, who resigned and will be leaving office after the November 3rd election. The next headline reads, Illinois impact, 6 death in Douglas County, U of I 7-day positivity rate falls to 0.5%. Douglas County lost a 6th resident to the coronavirus, local health officials announced on Monday. The person in their 70s was confirmed as having tested positive for COVID-19. All 6 of Douglas's deaths have come in the past 7.5 weeks, with the first reported on July 23rd. For the 5th straight day, the U of I campus's daily positivity rate was 0.5% or lower. Of 4,568 new tests, 17 came back positive, a rate of 0.4%. The U of I's 7-day rate fell from 0.6% to 0.5%. It's among the reasons CU Public Health's Vice Vade said he's cautiously optimistic, quote-unquote. Another 119 cases moved from the active column to recovered in Champaign County, where the 7-day rate now stands at 1.1%. An active total that was 492 at this time last week is now 285, and the number of hospitalized county residents remains 1, the same total as in Ford County. After a 2-week shift to remote learning following 4 positive tests, Salt Fork students were back at the Catlin High School Monday for the resumption of in-person classes. Meanwhile, Vermilion County reported 10 new positive tests, giving it 70 active cases. And this article was provided to us by Jeff D'Alessio. Restore Illinois Phase 4, Day 82 by the numbers. Illinois, 262,744 cases. That's up 1,373. There have been 8,314 deaths, up by 5, I believe, in the past week. Out of Champaign County, there have been 3,675 cases, up 81, and I believe 20 deaths. Out of Douglas County, there are currently 269 active cases. That's up by 4, with 6 deaths. Out of Ford County, 127 total cases, that's up by 2, and there have been 4 deaths. And out of Vermilion County, a total of 365 active cases, that's up by 10, with 4 deaths. The next headline reads, Top of the Morning, Something to Get You Going Today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Arcola is doing everything it can to lift the spirits of and lend a hand to the high school's longtime principal. Lisa Sigrist, that's S-I-G-R-I-S-T, is on leave as she battles a rare form of cancer. From the huge sign outside school to the inspiring fundraisers taking place inside, masks and t-shirts are selling fast. Sigrist Strong has everyone's full attention. This week, community members started delivering meals to her house. She is so overwhelmed by the love and support shown to her during this time, Arcola Athletic Director Nick Lindsay said. Arcola is such a special community and school, and in times of need, everyone jumps to help. While Lisa knows she is one of so many battling with this disease, she is so truly thankful for the support and, most importantly, prayers of everyone. If you'd like to chip in any way, contact the school office at 217-268-4962. Or you can click on the link in the story at newsgazette.com. Again, that phone number for Arcola High School, is 217-268-4962. Said Sigrist in a quote, I'm flooded with so many emotions right now. I can't even begin to express how much gratitude I have for the outpouring of support and prayers from my school community and the Arcola and surrounding communities. In times of crisis, people always pull together to support one another and give back in any way they can. Please continue to pray for all the people in our community and around the world who are battling this dreaded disease. I know that with faith in God and the support and prayers from family, friends, my school community, and the Arcola community, I will come out victorious no matter what happens during my journey, because God is good. The next headline reads, Corrections, Clarifying Cannabis Charges. A Saturday story about Andrew Allen's guilty plea for production of cannabis plants should have said that private citizens are limited to growing 5 plants in their home if they are for approved medical use. The News Gazette regrets this error. And now history. Area history. In 1920, Dan Mooney of Pisotum reported to Champaign police that someone had stolen his Ford car, which was parked near the Orpheum Theater. The auto had state license number 471041 and engine number 4201995. In 1970, the Bondville School will remain open at least through the 1970-1971 school year, the Champaign School Board voted on Monday. In 2005, construction will start in about 2 weeks on a $6 million addition for Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services in Gibson City, said the hospital's chief executive, Gary Peterson. The 25-bed hospital needs a larger emergency department and expanded diagnostic services to keep up with demand coming from Ford County and some communities north, Peterson said. International history. Today's highlight. On September 15, 1963, 4 black girls were killed when a bomb went off during Sunday services at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. 3 Ku Klux Klansmen were eventually convicted for their roles in the blast. Also on this date, in 1776, British forces occupied New York City during the American Revolution. In 1972, a federal grand jury in Washington indicted 7 men in connection with the Watergate break-in. In 1985, Nike began selling its Air Jordan 1 sneaker. And in 2001, President George W. Bush ordered U.S. troops to get ready for war and braced Americans for a long, difficult assault against terrorists to avenge the September 11th attack. Beleaguered Afghans streamed out of Kabul, fearing a U.S. military strike against Taliban rulers harboring Osama bin Laden. The next headline reads, Venus. Astronomers see possible hints of life in planets' clouds. This article is written by the Associated Press by Seth Bornstein, a writer, science writer there. Astronomers have found a potential sign of life high in the atmosphere of neighboring Venus. Hence, there may be bizarre microbes living in the sulfuric acid-laden clouds of the hothouse planet. 2 telescopes in Hawaii and Chile spotted in the thick Venusian clouds the chemical signature of phosphine, a noxious gas that on Earth is only associated with life, according to a study in Monday's journal Nature Astronomy. Several outside experts and the study authors themselves agreed this is tantalizing, but said it is far from the first proof of life on another planet. They said it doesn't satisfy the extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence standard established by the late Carl Sagan, who speculated about the possibility of life in the clouds of Venus in 1967. It's not a smoking gun, said study co-author David Clements, an Imperial College of London astrophysicist. It's not even gunshot residue on the hands of your prime suspect, but there's a distinct whiff of cordite in the air, which may be suggesting something. As astronomers plan for searches for life on planets outside our solar system, A major method is to look for chemical signatures that can only be made by biological processes, called biosignatures. After three astronomers met in a bar in Hawaii, they decided to look that way at the closest planet to Earth, Venus. They searched for phosphine, which is three hydrogen atoms and a phosphorus atom. On Earth, there are only two ways phosphine can be formed, study authors said. One is in an industrial process. The gas was produced for use as a chemical warfare agent in World War I. The other way is as part of some kind of poorly understood function in animals and microbes. Some scientists consider it a waste product, others don't. Phosphine is found in ooze at the bottom of ponds, the guts of some creatures like badgers, and perhaps the most unpleasantly associated with piles of penguin guano, Clements said. Study co-author Sarah Seeger, an MIT planetary scientist, said researchers exhaustively went through every possibility and ruled all of them out. Volcanoes, lightning strikes, small meteorites falling into the atmosphere. Not a single process we looked at could produce phosphine in high enough quantities to explain our team's findings. The next headline reads, Talk of the Towns. Among today's topics, town news, and town news. Sydney. Donna Hooker was sworn in at the village's September meeting to fill the unexpired term of Mark Catron, who resigned. Out of St. Joseph. Four St. Joseph Stanton Fire Protection District members, Wesley Garman, Chris Greer, Mick Viator, and Jerry Barnett, went to Crunch Fitness in Champaign on September 11th and used stair machines to complete the equivalent of climbing 110 floors in all of their gear. The firefighters were paying tribute to their New York City counterparts who died during the 9/11 terror attacks. Out of Villa Grove, City Council is looking for two Villa Grove High School students to replace junior aldermen Grace Hutchinson and Molly Mixell, who served for 2 years before graduating. Out of Gibson City. Gibson City Melvin Sibley Interact students volunteered at the Gibson Area Food Pantry. The pantry serves the GCMS School District and Ford County. And out of Tuscola. Chamber and Economics Development Director Brian Moody celebrated 15 years of service on Monday. Mayor Dan Kleiss presented him with an award of appreciation. And there are photos of all of these occurrences or incidents in the paper as well, smaller photos. And lastly today, the rankings are in. Number 3 in the state, number 4 in the league, number 47 in the land. That's where the University of Illinois landed on U.S. News and World Report's annual America's Best Colleges, released on Monday. So in the state, ahead of Illinois in the National Universities category, the University of Chicago and Northwestern. Among the others in the top 250, UIC, Loyola Chicago, DePaul, and Illinois State. In the Big Ten, only Northwestern, number 24 Michigan, and number 42 Wisconsin are ranked higher than Illinois. And U.S. and beyond, last year Illinois checked in on the national universities list at number 48. This year it's tied with Georgia for 47th place. In the separate global rankings, which measure universities for their worldwide reputation, among other criteria, Illinois is tied for 59th with China's Peking University and Australia's Monash University. That was provided to us by Jeff D'Alessio. I'm Susan Muirhead, and I'll be back with part 2 of the News Gazette shortly, so please stay with me. Thank you and have a wonderful day.